number one, the compliance thing that we covered, make sure that we're giving it as we said we would. Not more than one cc per injection site. My non-negotiable is not before 24 hours, again, because I like to protect that early pig. And I think you'll get better absorption with it that way. And then not later than 72 to 96 hours. And then on the second injection, I learned that too, is don't give it too late. It looks like it takes about 10 days from the second injection to peak out.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. AB Vista, new nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production.
Digestrum Finish helps optimize feed efficiency, supporting healthy growth in finisher pigs. Enhance your profitability today. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/finish.
Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Sid Lines, an Ecolab company, offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene in the swine industry.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast show. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and I'd like to introduce my guest today, Dr. Tom Petznik. Tom is a private practice veterinarian at Veterinary Health Services in Omaha, Nebraska. Welcome to our show, Tom.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great. Well, Dr. Tom Petznik is a returning guest on our show. Around a year ago, we had an episode where he and I discussed Tom's work on sapovirus, a recent emerging enteric pathogen in piglets. And so today our topic is still about the piglet, but we're going to talk about iron and its role and importance in the pig. So before we get started, Tom, will you recap a little bit about your career path and introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, so as you know, we both shared the same vet school. We both went to Kansas State University. And really graduating out of there, I really wanted to do dairy work. So I went to kind of southeast Nebraska. There was still quite a bit of dairy work being done there and some mixed animal practices. I replaced the pig guy. And so they really asked me if I could pick up that work while I was building my clientele and such. And so I said, absolutely, I'll do whatever I can for the practice. Ended up really liking it. And seeing that it was very much population-based, similar to what we would do with dairy work, started going to different meetings, meeting people. And then I was hired in late 1996 to Columbus, Nebraska, to Pillen Family Farms. At that time, it was called PST Vet Services. And that really started my very centric part of my swine life. In 2010, I decided to go out on my own. Continued to do work for some genetic companies, and then also had built up some clientele, and I diversified and did some cattle work and still do that today, just mainly livestock stuff. So most of my work is still my bread and butter, that what pays the bills. What I enjoy the most is working with pigs. That's where I have my community of people that I like to work with and making things better there. So still going today.
Optimize growth in baby pigs with Uniferon 200 iron dextrin from Pharmacosmos. Field studies have demonstrated 2 1-milliliter doses of Uniferon 200 can lead to a 7-pound increase at market weight, along with a 5% increase in average daily gain. 2 1-milliliter doses of Uniferon 200 are recommended to ensure enhanced growth and performance from weaning to market. To learn more, visit us.uniferon.com/research.
Great. Thank you for that. And Tom and I shared some overlap as he was working in Oklahoma for a bit. So we've known each other a long time. So it's nice to have you on the show again. So today we're going to talk about iron and its importance and in the functions in the pig. So to start us off, why don't you give us just a historical background of why function of iron in the pig and why it's important?
Yeah, so iron to the pig, I think everybody probably knows that iron in general, if you're low in it, on a blood test, we call that anemia. And, you know, very common in human medicine, really all mammals can go through that. And in pigs, obviously, to us, maybe not to everybody in the world, is that the reason that we need to inject pigs with iron is because we, in the, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and now into the 2000s, we took pigs off of dirt to make them more productive, give them an inside environment, make them happier, keep them warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. And with that, they ended up losing their exposure to the dirt, which was where they acquired a lot of their iron. And so back many, many years ago, iron was offered to pigs. I can remember when I was a little kid, we had oral concoctions that we could use, and we had also some injectable. The oral, in our experience, was always less tolerated. I don't know, it didn't taste well. I know when we drink iron water, water that's high in iron, it has that kind of problem with palatability. But for whatever reason, a lot of those pigs wouldn't tolerate it very well. So we were really happy when iron injection came along. Well, those standards got set many, many years ago. It was 1959, University of Minnesota did a study. Prior to that, people were just giving like 100 milligrams of iron. And then the University of Minnesota did a study at that time, clear back all those years, and started recommending 150 to 200 milligrams of iron. So by doing that, that allowed the piglet to have sufficient iron to function. We talk about mostly anemia and how it relates to hemoglobin. So 70% of iron is utilized for the carrying of or the formation of hemoglobin, and that carries our oxygen throughout our body for normal metabolism. There's other areas where it's really, really important. It affects some things with gene expression, and then certainly is really high, as other metals are, involved in electron transport, which obviously is, to us, again, obvious, is that that helps us create energy within the body. So the injectable iron was recognized very early on once we took pigs indoors that it was a need. Otherwise, we get these pale pigs, and it's needed up until they start getting back on to feed.
Yeah, exactly. And so my whole career, we gave pigs injectable iron in the farrowing house, right? And you know, we used different timings, right? And maybe I'll have you jump into that. We used, at birth or at day one or day two or three. So there was kind of a lot of different processes that you could use. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So, you know, every farm is a little bit unique, but I usually give, because some people are they like to handle the piglets day one, just as they're born, whether it's to dock tails, whether it's to give shots, whether it's to do that. Some, I would say the majority of the farms I work with are handling those pigs in the 3 to 5 day range, and they try to shy away. And I actually try to shy people away from day one, just because it's another stressor, and all I want those piglets to do is go drink. But regardless, we have some opportunity there to do whatever. What I really push people to do is, I learned long ago that if you don't give pig an iron dose by day 7, they've basically depleted the vast majority of their iron reserve. And so we can start to have ill effects from that. And so, really traditionally today, and my recommendation is not earlier than 24 hours. I just want that pig to get started, get its colostrum, get its milk, get warm, love up to its mom. But then I like to get that in not later than 72 hours, right in that day 3 time period.
Yeah, exactly. And if we learned a little bit with, PED, when we tried to not touch pigs, right, and not try to move that virus around. And we learned that by day 7, yeah, you'll certainly start to see the effects of not having the iron injection. And so that reminded us, right, of what we already knew, or those studies already told us. So yeah, great. So tell me about how you measure the iron status in a pig.
Yeah, so there's some really unique tools out there today, with the main one being something that we can have in farm fairly inexpensively. It's called a HemoQ. And that HemoQ is just kind of a small box. I probably should have brought one with me today. But it's a small box, and it's got a little sliding drawer on it. And that sliding drawer fits a small cuvette. And so what we'll very easily do, I always check them right around weaning time because I want to know that we were optimal all the way to the end of the weaning, because I know the next day, next 2 days, they're going to go on to feed that has iron in it and they'll start assimilating it that way. So I always check it at weaning, and we just take a small needle. Somebody will restrain the piglet and we'll look for that ear vein and we'll just poke it. And all we really need is a few drops. We always let the first drop or two go. Interestingly enough, it'll change the results a little bit. There's some very almost instantaneous kind of immune response, or not immune, but physiologic responses right there. So we'll let the first couple drops go. We can just place that cuvette and it has like a capillary action where it'll suck the blood right up into it. We place that cuvette in, close the drawer, and it's digital. And no later than 30 seconds later, we get a value. I prefer to read it in grams per deciliter. And so what we do is we then get that value from that pig and decide, was that an anemic level? Was that clinically or non-clinically anemic, or is it adequate? And what I do is I draw that line at 12. So if I could have every single pig at a 12 grams per deciliter or higher, I know that we have a really good, robust amount of iron in that pig. And helping with the hemoglobin production, between 10 and 12, I would say I see a lot of pigs there. I can't physically see the anemia that's going on in them, but I know that's just slightly deficient. But then when you start getting under 9, those pigs really start to become pretty obvious.
Okay. No, that great information. So when you would go in and assess this at a farm, how many pigs would you do, you know, in a farrowing house, just to get a good look at the whole population at that weaning time?
You know, we have such a large population, we can still use some statistical methods like what we do for bleeding. A lot of times I'll start off with the classic 30. So if I do 30 samples, I have a 95% chance or probability of finding a 10% or less problem. Or 10% or higher problem. Sorry. So if everything looks normal, I know that that gives me pretty good confidence that no more than 10% of the pigs are anemic. So if I want to do more, I can go up to 60. But in general, once we kind of get that baseline setting, we see it pretty obviously. We'll test maybe once a month, and we might even just do 10 or 15 samples, you know, and just watch the trend that we create over time. So that seems to be plenty for what we need to do.
That seems easy enough, right, to get a profile of the herd and then to watch it if you're making an intervention.
Yeah.
So there's been some changes in looking at iron from that 1950s recommendation that you mentioned earlier. What are you seeing now, and what's changed over time from then to now?
Yeah, so we really have to think back. In 1959, we recommended 150 to 200 milligrams of iron. And obviously, I'm an old guy, but I'm not that old, 1959. And so much has changed just in my lifetime. I can remember being a young kid back in the 70s. We'd raise pigs. We were happy if they had 10. I mean, we were just ecstatic if they had 10 baby piglets. And if they raised 8 of them, we just, man, that we're in the money. That, you know, we're really doing well. Well, today, my best farms are weaning 13 and a half, and they're doing it, you know, more times a year than what we used to. And not only that is we've gotten to 13 and a half as far as a wean per sow, but not only that, those pigs are weighing 14 and 15 pounds. So remember, iron is consumed as a metabolite or within the body and utilized for different reactions. It's excreted as well. So making sure that we keep that iron level up is going to be harder now with more pounds of pig being in metabolic activity on a sow, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it. And so we're going to have an increased iron need. And that became very obvious when we started doing some HemaQ sampling and finding that we were deficient in iron. It was easy to find an iron deficiency in a pig. And so we would commonly, we'd have our low ones would be in the 5s. Our high ones might be in the 10s, maybe up to 11. And so we just said, hey, you know, if this is correct, we need to do something about it. And so the obvious answer that we went to is the simplest thing was, well, let's give more iron. And so what we found out is that, you know, pigs, a certain amount of iron, like 200 milligrams will support about 8.8, 8.8 pounds or 4 kilograms worth of growth. And so now, remember, we're going up to 15 pounds. And some of those biggest pigs are 20 pounds in that average. And so we really said, well, let's find out what it will take. A lot of that was done by a company, Pharmacosmos. And Pharmacosmos has been very supportive of doing a lot of testing, doing a lot of research. And that's a lot of what I'll talk about, specifically with iron dextran. And so with the iron dextran, it's really becoming more standard. If you haven't seen it in some of the publications and such, but the studies are showing that that we're likely needing up to 400 milligrams into these pigs. And so what we do now is we give two injections. We can, and there's some flexibility in that timing, but we give two injections in order to hit our targets at the end.
Okay. Yeah. And one other thing that, you know, I wanted to note that's changed is that, you know, in the 90s, we were doing these early weaning, right? And weaning pigs at an earlier age. And so we may not have noted or saw as many pigs that were anemic visually at that point. And, you know, they got on nursery feed and along they went. But, you know, in the last 10 years, we've increased our wean age and then the growth, like you mentioned. And so that's really different from what we had before, and why I can see that, you know, additional milligrams of iron just makes sense. So tell me about giving these two injections. So we talked before about the one injection being early, right, within the first certainly 7 days, but probably within the first 3 days of life. Where do you place the second injection, and how do you see that working in a farm?
Yeah, and so before I'll go there, but I just thought of something I really ought to validate this with, is that first I always check for technique. Okay, is the team really giving it when we think? Are they getting a full dose of iron at even just 200 milligrams in that 3-day-old pig? And the reason we say that is the nice thing with iron, it's almost like when you get blood staining, is it seems like one drop just looks like, oh my gosh, there's tons of bleeding. Or with iron, that it just really sticks out when you leak back some iron. And so each drop of iron, there's 20 drops in a milliliter. And so each drop of iron is 10 milligrams. And so if we're targeting 200 milligrams, and if for some reason 5 drops come back out, then we're really only giving that pig 150 milligrams. So we'll go through and we'll calibrate syringes, we'll observe and technique and watch the team actually doing it. What I found is very important with that is to watch for quite a while. You know, everybody can do things methodically when you're sitting there watching them and they're really on alert. But if you stay there longer and longer and you start interacting with them, then you'll start to see their natural mistakes that they might make, whether intentional or unintentional. And so first and foremost, make sure that we check and make sure administration's correct. Then I was under the bias that, well, we're going to have to space those shots apart, right? We don't want to waste the iron. I was under the bias that, well, we'll give 200 milligrams at 3 days of age, and then we'll give 200 milligrams later. There was a really nice study, again, sponsored by Pharmacosmos, where they said, okay, most pig producers don't want to pick up pigs at 10 days of age or 6 days of age, or again, if they don't have to. And giving it at weaning time is too late. You know, so basically, they did a really nice trial where they did 200 milligrams on each side of the neck. That's really important, is not to give it as a bolus of 2 cc's, but to give it on each side of the neck. And they did that versus a day 3 and like a day 8, and they could find no significant difference there. So what we find out, and what I learned, one of the things I learned in the process is the body has a way to meter that iron out. It has certain markers within it, things that are indicators to the body that say whether to pull more iron in if it's out there or not to. And so it's actually not lost and wasted if you give it all as one dose at approximately day 3. So I have both types. I have some guys want to pick them up twice. I have other guys, but please make sure that if you ever, anybody out there, that if you do it, don't give the whole dose of 2 cc's in one spot. And because we have seen a difference there, is that it doesn't seem to work as well as if we give it on each side of the neck.
Yeah, good advice. I think for food safety wise, as well, in terms of, you know, meat quality, giving two different injections with a lower amount is important. Great. So tell me about any toxicity concerns with using more iron.
Yeah. And this is one of those things, a guy, and this will probably go in later that we talk about this a little bit, but a person, you know, we can tend to be knee jerk, and everybody can remember that E. coli seems to really like iron. Right. And so there is some worries that there is going to be overgrowth of E. coli in these pigs because of the extra iron. Remember, iron also is it can be very toxic, you know, just like any metal. You know, the metals are dangerous if we give too much of them as well. So certainly a toxicity could happen. It appears with injections, though. There was a nice study done out of North Carolina State where because that was the question. How much is too much? And they actually gave up to 800 milligrams to piglets, and they could not find any negative effects of that. So the iron toxicity issue, remember, everything is relative. It's certainly going to have the possibility of creating reactive oxygen species and all that kind of thing. But at the same time, everything's relative. If the pig is in a low inflammatory state, I don't expect that we'll see any problems, and we certainly haven't seen any. So certainly I'm not going to ever tell anybody that iron can't be toxic, but at the way we're giving it, at the amounts that we're giving it in good pigs, we're not seeing any issues.
Good advice. And also good advice on the vaccine or medication compliance side, right? Because I think with any kind of product that you're using, you're spending money on it. And for it to get the most effective use is to make sure you administer it right. So got to start with the basics.
Yeah. The big mistakes I see there, little sidebar, is using too big of a barrel syringe. So if you're giving 1 cc of something, don't use a 5 ml barrel, because you're going to be more accurate with a 2 ml or obviously a 1 ml barrel. And then calibrating those syringes and knowing where either the rubber piece or the end of the plunger needs to be. And all you have to do is take a 6 or 12 cc disposable syringe, set your setting, pump it in there so many times and see if you're accurate or not. And then certainly if you're in the 1 milliliter mode, you can find fixed syringes that they fix it at that amount, and they're very, very accurate.
Yeah, absolutely. I've experienced the same. What about needleless devices that some folks are using in farrowing?
Yeah, the farm I was at today uses it in farrowing and gets along really well. The biggest thing that I've seen there is change your O-rings often. To make sure that we're not having any kind of leak back in the system. And then the other one is it's a natural for people to want to, when they're getting leak back, they want to turn up the pressure, and actually turning up the pressure can create more leak back. If I remember right, on the pulse needle free, at least it's somewhere actually a low 20s is actually ideal. And you just have to adjust and make small adjustments as you go.
Yeah, exactly. And my experience would be make sure that you do use the proper way to clean it, right? Cleaning your lines and cleaning the gun. So,
yeah.
Great. So what about non-negotiables? So how do you, what are sort of your rules with all things iron after you've been, you know, working with farms implementing this new standard?
Yeah. So number one, the compliance thing that we covered, make sure that we're giving it as we said we would. Not more than 1 cc per injection site. My non-negotiable is not before 24 hours again, because I like to protect that early pig. And I think you'll get better absorption with it that way. And then not later than 72 to 96 hours. And then on the second injection, I learned that too, is don't give it too late. It looks like it takes about 10 days from the second injection to peak out. And so by giving it no later than day 10, unless you just happen to have, let's say you're a really old weaning, like you're a 5 week batch or something, and you're weaning really old pigs. But in general, most of my customers are in that 20 to 27 day range. And so it appears like if we come back with a second injection by day 10, that's the critical thing. Not saying you have to give it later. You could give it all as long as it's on both sides of the neck at day 3 to 4 or 5. But if you're going to stagger the doses, don't give the second dose past day 10. The other one that's not a bad idea to remember is we buy iron a lot of times in small 100 mil bottles. There are some that have gotten bigger, but the big thing is everybody always wants to pop open the tops, put them into a single bottle. Make sure those bottles are clean. I just tell guys they're cheap enough, just buy a new one. Use a new one every single time. I was actually in a farm one time, and all of a sudden they came and running to get me in gestation. They said, something's wrong with the iron. It's killing the pigs. And so I went up there, and sure enough, they had pigs going into massive anaphylactic reactions. And so I obviously said, stop. And I'm like, okay, there must be some kind of contamination or something like that. Well, at that farm, we also use an oral Ween D in that farm to give vitamin D. And that's a peanut oil base. So their way of having a new bottle was, well, let's dump out and just kind of rinse out the Ween D bottle. Well, they had micro droplets of peanut oil in there, and it just sent these pigs to a rapid death. So you know, make sure that you take the time and you do it right. Use clean bottles, clean up the equipment, like you said. Those are non-negotiable.
No, those are good. Those are all good points, and not only for iron, right? Also for other products.
When it comes to raising healthy, strong swine, the environment makes all the difference. Pancopia provides better environmental conditions for swine so that they can grow faster and more efficiently. Grow smarter, grow stronger, and watch your profits soar. Pancopia, the future of swine care starts here. Visit pancopia.com today to learn more.
Before we conclude, let's talk a little bit about the benefits of that additional injection of iron and having those pigs, you know, not being weaned in your, you know, kind of, even if you don't notice it, don't see a lot of anemic pigs. Like you mentioned before, if you're doing some of the measurements, you'll have some that are on the threshold of being anemic and you won't visually see it. So what benefits are there for using additional iron?
Yeah, it's really all phases of it's all phases of production. And like I said, Pharmacosmos is, I mean, they've funded a lot of great, great studies from really kind of all over, some in the US, some in Europe. And there's just kind of a common message when those trials are done. And the common message is that for wean pigs, you know, it's not uncommon to gain a half a pound or more. There has been some studies where they don't, there was at least one that was a really done trial. It was really a wash at weaning. But what was really interesting is those pigs out of the nursery, it's very common to get 4 to 6 pounds of gain coming out of the nursery. And then that obviously, as we know from our lives, is that those pounds out of the nursery equate to a lot of pounds coming out of the finisher. But in general, that's going to be, let's say that's 8 pounds. So when you look at it, is this worth it? You know, it's very low cost to give an iron shot, you know, to give it and to the time you have to give it, the equipment that you use to give it, and the iron itself is going to cost you 25 cents for that extra, that second injection. Yet that, you know, you can do your own math of what your metrics for your farm is and decide how much that's worth. So basically, wean the market, we're talking a 3 to 5% increase in average daily gain. I mean, people would die for that a lot of times. And the good news is we're working and figuring out reasons why. Obviously, having plenty of hemoglobin in the body, that's only 70% of it, right? But having good oxygenation of tissues so that the mitochondria can burn at the right optimal level to create energy is obviously one of those. Two other studies is it actually helped with enteric health when it came down to fecal scores on a really well done study. And then secondly, one that I was involved with last summer with an intern, it actually helped with temperature regulation. So one of the studies they did was it showed that there was an upregulation when you go to 400 milligrams of a gene that actually helps with temperature regulation. So we put that to the test and actually sewed on little temperature monitors. And we could see that at weaning and post-weaning in the immediate period, those pigs settled in and maintained their body temperature a lot better than they would have if they only had the 200 milligrams. So it kind of makes sense is if pigs stay at their thermal neutral zone, if they don't have as much enteric problems, that's just going to further enhance the growth that we get with the extra oxygenation of the tissues.
Yeah, really interesting work on the thermal regulation. I hadn't heard of that. So that's new.
Yeah. We're really fortunate. We had an outstanding, her name was Molly Jones. She's a vet student at North Carolina State. And if anybody runs into her, you'll find out just why she's so great. She had the good fortune and won, I think it was second place at the poster contest with this trial at AASV. And she's actually going to be over in Switzerland to present at the ESPHM this year. So really exciting stuff.
Great. Congratulations to her. So, Tom, we're finishing our time together, been really great. This has been a discussion with Dr. Tom Petznik discussing the function and importance of iron in the young pig. If you have any questions or comments for Tom, our guest, or myself about our show, please send those through to us on any podcast listening platform that you use. If you like our show, give us a thumbs up. We appreciate that. And before we end our discussion and jump on to our questions that we ask our guest, Tom, do you have any final thoughts that you want to share for our audience?
Yeah, I would say always think outside the box. I think this is a classic case of it. Don't be scared to measure and then to test and learn. And also just the value of, I mean, it's just been a really good rewarding relationship. Having a company that is vested in research, probably I know in the iron world better than anyone in the livestock market, that you can find those research trials and data sheets on those at uniferrin.com. I think it's important for people to be able to see that for themselves. So be critical of what the literature has been done. Read it for yourself. Ask questions, and there will be answers for those.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of for us practitioners, coming back and not relying on, science from the 1950s, right, in today's pig. So we always need to be questioning and relooking at our normal standard procedures. So very good. Thank you so much.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Keyes Manufacturing is America's number one source for cheese meal and dairy powders for your feed. Check us out at keysmanufacturing.com. Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. Visit us at vaccinova.us.com for more info. That's vaxxinova.us.com. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions.
Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth.
Eastman serves veterinarians and nutritionists in agrochemical and animal health industries by helping them select, evaluate, and implement innovative nutritional programs. Eastman works with your team to customize your gut health approach in feed and water. Eastman's approach addresses nutritional and bacterial challenges and finds new ingredient preservation and hygiene solutions. Explore ways to accelerate and innovate your programs. Contact the animal nutrition team at eastman.com.
So, Tom, before I let you go, as a hallmark of our Swine It podcast show, we ask our guests three questions. And the first one is, what is your favorite book or resource that you use in your area of expertise? So swine medicine or just large animal medicine?
Yeah. So because I already used one up on the last podcast that we did together, I think on that one, I was like the value of grad students, but I'm going to stick with another people resource that I think is invaluable to any swine practitioner, and that's the diagnosticians. And developing that relationship with that diagnostic lab, whomever it is, they work tireless hours, no different than a good swine practitioner does. And just their knowledge and how they keep up. A lot of those guys were in the field or girls were in the field also. And so they're just such a valuable because they can relate to what we see on a farm and help us with that. So I would have to say that's my shout out to them is thank you for all that they do for us.
Yeah, diagnosticians are so passionate about what they do, right? They're as passionate about what they do as we are in the field. So great advice. So what about a book or resource outside of vet medicine?
Yeah, so one that I would recommend to anyone No matter what level, place in life they're at. I've given some of the book out before, and it was recommended to me. It's called The Four Agreements. It's by a gentleman named Don Miguel Ruiz, and basically goes through four agreements. I won't give those away because that's for you guys to read, but it's incredibly timeless advice that is really made simple within that book. And it's a short read. Maybe someday I'll recommend a really long read, but this one's like, I want to say it's 160 pages or something.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one, so I'll check it out. And the last one is, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
This ties into that four agreements. And he actually ended up writing a second book called The Fifth Agreement. And I'll give that one away. And that one is be skeptical, but also learn to listen. You know, and so like whether it's this iron stuff that we're talking about, be skeptical of what we're talking about and say, man, we've never had to do that or whatever, or I don't know that that makes sense to me, or I'm scared of toxicity. So be absolutely skeptical of what you hear, what you read, what you see. But at the same time, what I found is really successful people, they're that way, but they also listen. They put their ego aside and their previous their core beliefs aside for a second, and they listen, because then it's like, wow. I mean, I could have just said, you know what, 200 milligrams. I'm asking a producer to give more iron, spend more money, more labor, whatever. But at the same time, be skeptical about it, but at the same time, listen, and that way you'll adapt and grow in all the right things.
Yeah, I like that. Be skeptical. You know, always question, right? There's never a bad question. And so that if you get the same answer in the end, you just confirm, you know, what you already knew, but then you have even more confirmation of it. So
I'll purposely listen to books or read books that I know going into it that this is against what I believe. But it's just like what you said, it either reinforces that, yep, I still believe that, or it's like, well, maybe there is something else that I'm not considering.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good challenge to us. Well, thank you so much, Tom, for being a guest on our show. Been really great to meet with you again and learn a little bit more about iron in the pig.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.